Thank you very much. I'd love the adults to be able to have a Bible. So there's a little stack by the door, I think. So if you can't see that, either on a phone or a Bible, do put a hand in the air. Children, you're all in with us today. We're trying to do that during half term to give Sunday school leaders a bit of a break. So I think that's important. We're really glad to have you with us. And I think you can listen and take something in. But if it would help you, you could come and sit up here with me. A parent might like to sit on one of these chairs here. And if anyone gets really, really wiggly, then there is a sort of emergency room that we can send you through. As the children come up, and I think the creche-age children are welcome to either stay in, but creche is running as well, so you're welcome to go through to that. As people rearrange and as people get a Bible in front of us, why don't we pray? Let's all pray. God, our loving Father, we want to quieten ourselves before you. And we know that what we're doing now is not just some small thing, but we're listening to the words of the living God. And so we ask that you would help us, give us ears to hear, hearts that are in awe of you and love you, and change our lives by what we hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, children, I've got a starting activity for you, which is that I'd love you to go on a little bit of a treasure hunt and to find, round the loop of this church, not up in the balcony, some of these bits of fruit. So while I'm speaking, can you jump up and just have a little leg it round, see if you can find five or six little items of fruit. Conscious there aren't that many children, although Noah looks like he'd quite like to get involved. And if you bring those back to me. Now, while the children are finding those, just a little introduction, adults to this letter if you're new, and it's particularly lovely to have a few with us. Are you going through, or are you going to join us? Very good. Very good. Now, what we've just had read by Charlie is part of a letter written to a church called the Philippians. That's in a real place. You can visit it today in Greece. It was written by the Apostle Paul, who's in prison, and he's writing to help this church to grow. So if our lives are like a tree, then actually there needs to be some fruit from it. Thank you, guys. Let's stick these on. There needs to be some fruit in our lives. In other words, some outworking of our salvation. What have you got there? These got a bit wet in my bag. So that's a bit of fruit. That's a bit more fruit. Thank you very much. I think we've got all the main bits there. Great. Thanks, guys. Grab a seat. There needs to be some outworkings, and that's really what this letter's been showing us. We've got a couple more. Thank you very much. And thank you very much. Now, someone who can read. Charlie, do you want to come up and try and read these for us? Just to help the grown-ups out. I don't know whether they can manage these big words. If you don't fancy it, you don't have to. So here's what we've been seeing in Philippians, is that there is various fruit that's supposed to grow in a Christian's life, and it's quite unique stuff. It's the sort of fruit that doesn't grow anywhere else. So, Charlie, can you read out for us? Let's go for this one up here. Can you read that one there? Courage. And we saw that in chapter 1, didn't we? That you would stand firm as one without being frightened in any way of those who oppose you. Okay, do you want to go for this one here? Can you read that one? It's a complicated word. Humility. Okay, humility. That's chapter 2, isn't it, of Philippians? In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Tabitha, do you want to have a go at that one? Thankfulness. Okay, again, chapter 2. Do people remember? Do everything without complaining or arguing. Okay, then we came on to, what's this one up here?
Joy.
Rejoice in the Lord. That's chapter 3, isn't it? Okay, and then we've got a few others. Next week, we're going to do this one. That's contentment. And Paul's going to tell us that he's learnt the secret, and Jamie's going to help us with that next week. And this week,
peace.
Now, there's one more, actually. Would you like to read this one out here for us?
Gentleness.
Well done. Thank you very much. But the one we're... if we sit back here, just here for a moment. And the one we're thinking about this week is the fruit of peace. Now, here's the big thing that the adults should have been learning, and you could ask them later about this, okay? That this fruit only grows when you know Jesus. Okay, it only grows in the soil of Jesus. Just like plants need soil to grow, don't they? Christians need Jesus to grow. And so today, two headings, and I don't have my clicker actually, so hopefully someone at the back can click us through. Here's the first thing we're going to see. We're going to find how we get peace when we find others annoying. So verse 2, okay? Can you see a Bible at adults? I'm really, really keen we can see this because I don't really want to just talk. I want you to be able to see for yourself what God says. Verse 2, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Now, children, do you ever have an argument or a bit of a fight about a toy? Or who gets to have the biggest piece of cake? Or who gets to go first? Or who gets to, you know, to wear the particular clothes? Anyone ever have a fight? Just put a hat. And sometimes your mum and dad comes along and says, come on, stop fighting and make up. I'm just looking to some of the older children as well. I wonder if this thing ever happens. Now, here's the thing. Can you believe it? Paul is telling some grown-ups, come on, stop fighting and make up. Can you believe that? And it's so serious that he pleads with them on his knees and he starts naming names. So imagine if I said, Mark, Phil, come on, make up. That's all right, Mark and Phil are very good friends. But that would be quite serious. Do you think they'd be a bit embarrassed if I said something like that in church? Or Roland and Richard, come on, get on in the Lord. It's so serious, isn't it? Sometimes grown-ups do fall out because, do you know what? We want the biggest piece of cake. We want to go first or something like that anyway. And selfish sin makes grown-ups fall out even in church. And sometimes it's actually just personalities, isn't it? I think that might have been what's going on here because nothing particular is mentioned. But Euodia and Syntyche, maybe they just found each other annoying. Maybe they just didn't quite click. They rubbed each other up the wrong way. And this letter tells us that we are to expect that, yes, even in church, which is sad, but it's not surprising because church is full of sick sinners. And so rather than leaving the church, and I've been meeting a number of people in recent weeks who say, well, I used to be in church, but such and such rubbed me up the wrong way. Rather than leaving or holding a grudge, the Lord God pleads with us, let's make peace. Now, how do we do that? Well, verse 3 says that sometimes, actually, we need to get some help. Okay, so we need somebody involved who can listen to both sides, who can pray with us. And I wonder, adults, actually, have we ever considered doing that? And sometimes mum and dad need to get involved, don't we? So just help us to get on. But crucially, we need to remember two things. So let's click through. Here's the first one. We need to remember God's boat and God's book. Okay? First of all, God's boat. Now, can anyone who isn't Tabitha and Lydia, who know what this boat is, can you tell me what type of boat this one is? What do you think? It's a toy boat. Yep. What type of boat is it? It's an orange boat. What do you think it does? It's a hovercraft. Okay. Yep. And what's its job? Ralph, can you see? What do you think it does? It's a lifeboat, isn't it? It's a lifeboat. And we've been learning that church is a lifeboat. Now, that's exactly the point that's being made here. Okay, Paul mentions these two women, verse 2, verse 3, who've contended at my side for the cause of the gospel. Now, the gospel is the news, isn't it, children, that Jesus died and he rose again as a rescue. That's the news, isn't it? Okay, and a church's job, imagine this is the gospel. A church's job is to rescue people into the lifeboat. So should we do that? I'm going to rescue, first of all, Ralph. Can I rescue you? Ralph, this is the gospel. Take hold. Take hold. Be rescued. Quick. Come back into the boat. Quick. There's only one way to be saved. Quick, get into the boat. Now, Ralphie, do you think we need to rescue some more people? Okay, do you want to throw it? Who should we rescue next? Yeah, well done. Okay, come on, Reuben. Up you come. Okay, let's rescue some more people. This is the gospel. There's only one way to be saved. Who should we rescue next? Should we get Tabitha and Lydia at the same time? Right. Okay, church is a lifeboat, and this is our job. Okay, Lydia doesn't want to come in at the moment. Okay. Now, can you imagine? Charlie, do you want to be rescued? Well done. Quick. Oh, you backed that out really well. Now, can you imagine if we had this job, okay, everyone's drowning, and we've got the only way that can be rescued, and we all start going, oh, I want to have the steering wheel. Oh, I want to have the biggest hat. I want to choose which songs we sing in the boat. Can you imagine doing that? The point is, the more we focus on our job as a church of being a lifeboat to a drowning world, the less we'll end up falling out with each other. And that's Paul's point. Right, very good. Do you want to grab a seat? Grab a seat. Okay. So first of all, a church needs to remember the lifeboat. But secondly, a church needs to remember God's book. God's book. Now, let's have a look down again. It mentions, doesn't it? End of verse 3. That these ladies' names are written in the book of life. So when all the Philippians get to heaven, one day they will find their names written in God's great big book. This isn't actually God's book, but it's the biggest book I could find at home. And they're going to get there, and they're going to find names written there. Euodia, Syntyche, Roland, Mark, Phil, Richard, Graham, Tabitha, Lydia, Reuben, Charlie, Ralph, Vincent. There are going to be lots of girls in that list as well. Thank you, Tabitha. Diane. Francesca. Or Mum. Now, here's the thing, right? Okay, on that day, all those angry thoughts that we've had about people. She missed me out. They disrespected me. You know, I should have been allowed to do that in church. She was so annoying. They are going to sound utterly dumb, aren't they? Those thoughts. As we find in God's book of life all the names, and we realize how very precious every person was to God and how he'd forgiven them. Remember God's book. Here's a verse from a song we sometimes sing as a church. We just put it up. Beneath the cross of Jesus, his family is my own. Once strangers chasing selfish dreams, now one through grace alone. How could I now dishonor the ones that you have loved? Beneath the cross of Jesus, see the children called by God. Jesus is the soil. He's the soil in which peace grows. And so my question, we mustn't walk away from church and just go, well, that was interesting. My question today is there somebody that you need to make peace with? God pleads with you. Secondly, peace when we find others annoying. Secondly, and you're doing really well, children, peace when we find life scary. Imagine that right now the police or somebody marched in and locked up me and took me straight to prison. And then all the windows in the church got smashed and some people marched in and they tried to break up our church. They said, you can't do church anymore. And then you got chucked out of your schools for being Christian. There's a little smile on a face there. That wouldn't be so bad for some. I don't think that's going to happen. But listen carefully. That's the sort of thing that was happening for this little church in Philippi. And so they really, really needed, verse 7, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. They needed peace when life was scary. How do you get that? How do you get that? I think this is something we all need, isn't it? I think I get scared. Do you ever get scared? It's something which is a massive issue in our world today. Anxiety is rife everywhere. It's a massive issue for teenagers, I believe. as well as adults with health conditions and the rest of it. How do you get it? Now, I need to say that what I'm about to share will be of some help. But if you have a kind of medical anxiety condition, of course you need to get to the GP and you need to get wider help and counselling as well. But God gives us something to do with our tongues. Can you stick your tongue out? Something to do with our tongues. Something to do with our hands. Can you hold your hands up for me? Okay, and something to do with your heads. Okay, so Lydia, can you just sit back here? Because it would really help me if you're just right back with everyone else. Thank you very much. Something to do with our tongues. Something to do with our hands. Something to do with our heads. Number one, with our tongues. Can you see what it says? Rejoice in the Lord, verse 4, sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord, always. Rejoice in the Lord, always. Now, this is what we found Jesus doing, didn't we? Just in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's about to have the most horrendous, scary thing happen to him. What does he do? He's with his disciples singing hymns. Or the Apostle Paul, when he was in prison in Philippi, what was he doing? He was singing in prison. And that is what God wants us to do. So stick your tongues out and then la 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 la. Rejoice. With your tongues, we're to rejoice when we're anxious. If you came to prayer and praise this last Tuesday, I think many of us just found just simply singing has a huge impact, doesn't it? And so, children, I wonder if you, or with your mums and dads at home, when you're worried about something, when you're anxious, do you sing? I think God tells us to here, doesn't he? That'd be a very, very practical thing to take away. Okay, with our tongues, stick your tongue out again. Rejoice, can you sit up, please? Thank you very much. It really helps me to concentrate. Okay, with our tongues, rejoice. With our hands, what am I going to say here? With our hands, pray. Now, when I'm a bit anxious, I sort of do this with my hands. Or I chew my nails, which is a bit disgusting, isn't it? And maybe you have a little blankie that you go to when you're a bit nervous. That's okay. Some grown-ups reach for the alcohol when they're anxious. And what God wants us to do with our hands when we're anxious, above all, is not to fret, okay, and not to escape, but to pray. Don't be anxious about anything, God says to us today, but in every situation, pray. Now, when you're scared of a dog, or you're scared of a funny noise in your room, what do? You go to your mum and dad, don't you? And you want them to hold your hand, to be with you, to be near, and to tell you it's okay, don't you? Well, when Christians get scared, which we do, we live in a very scary world, we go to our heavenly dad. That's what prayer is. We go to our heavenly dad. He is near. He's powerful. He won't always take our problems away. He won't always answer our prayers how we want. He'll always do what's best. Always. And just talking to God makes such a difference. So with our tongues, rejoice. With our hands,
pray.
Okay. And again, are we doing that in our homes? Think back on the week. Have we actually paused and prayed about those things we're anxious about? Sometimes I have to say, the truth is I struggle to do it on my own. So I need someone else to come alongside and say, okay, let's pray. Let's do it. Don't just share your fretting and go, oh, I know. Yeah, all right. Talk to our Heavenly Father. Third, with our heads. Tabitha wanted to know, what do we do with our heads? Well, you need to sit up straight if you want to know what we do with our heads. Otherwise, I won't tell you. Okay, massage your head. And with your heads, here it is, think about Jesus. Verse 8, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, if you do the opposite to this, and you fill your spare thinking time with what is wrong and evil and nasty, you won't know God's peace. And that's one reason why many Christians would be pretty nervous of Halloween, right? filling our heads with scary things. I don't really get it. It might affect the kind of programs that we watch on TV. The truth is, we're always thinking, aren't we? Even if actually what we're filling our head with is just sort of mundane and bland. We're always thinking. Where does your mind drift? First thing in the morning, last thing at night, when you're just driving. Where does it drift? And if we drift into just bland, my own thoughts, swirling round and around and around, they might even be kind of fairly happy thoughts, but if God isn't there, well, we won't know the peace of God, will we? So this is very practical. What does God say? He says we need to, with our minds, well, think about what's good and noble and true. And we can do that from creation, can't we? As we step out and we see the sea and the sunsets and the animals, and they're majestic and noble and beautiful and lovely. And for some of us, we've just got to step out of our door, even if it's raining, and we've got to get outside and we've got to see the lovely creation. That'll do us some good. We do this as we come to church, don't we? And we remember what is true and lovely and noble and good. And we stop ourselves being lost in our own little minds that kind of drive us crazy. And we let God speak to our minds and fill them with what is good and true and lovely and noble and admirable and right. And I have to say, I don't think that just hearing 20 minutes on a Sunday is really enough for that, so that your thoughts are consumed with a vision that God is in this world. But above all, who is true and noble and right and pure and excellent and praiseworthy? Well, the only person who is above all is the Lord Jesus. And so Paul, even in his prison cell, not able to get out and see creation or even be part of church, he fills his head with Jesus. Do you remember the story of the two sisters, Mary and Martha? And Jesus goes to their house, and Martha is busy. She's busy cooking and cleaning and hoovering and buzzing around. She never sits down. Mary is there sitting at Jesus' feet, listening. And Martha gets annoyed. Tell my sister to help me. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and anxious about many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better. Of course, we need to cook and clean and go to work, and I'm afraid we need to go to school. But we also need to take time to stop and to fill our minds with the scriptures and the vision of Jesus. Jesus, in his love for the world, with his perfect life. You think, what is true and lovely and beautiful, praiseworthy? Well, his life was. His power, even over storms. His care for every one of his people. His death, giving his life for you. His resurrection, showing that he has power even over where the worst to happen, where those things that you're worried and anxious about, where the worst to happen, he'll take you through. His promises, which will never fail. And of course, we have to face scary things in our day. We can't hide away from them. But if our minds are full of Jesus, well, we can face scary things with peace. Children, do you want to just stand up and just teach the grown-ups what we've learned, okay? Let's just stand up. So with our tongues, we rejoice. Well done. With our hands, do we fret? Do we fret? We pray. Okay, and with our heads, we're going to think about Jesus. Okay, thank you. Sit down. Now, that's what the Lord God's told us, isn't it? And the challenge is, as we go into the week, well, will we listen? And will that actually shape our day? And if you're anything like me, you've heard this many, many times. What can we take away? Let's just have a moment's quiet before the Lord and to thank him and to commit to something this week that might bring us a little more peace. God, our loving Father, I want to thank you that you are committed to our peace. That's an astonishing thought, that you, the living God, the God who's made the whole universe, cares so much about us that even in the day-to-day fears and you know the things that are in our minds that we're anxious of. You care about that, and you've spoken to us that we might have your peace. And I want to pray that you'd give that to us as we listen to the things you've told us to do. Give us the energy, the headspace to use our minds to fill them with the Bible and Jesus, to use our hands to pray rather than to fret, and with our tongues to rejoice. Help us this week. It's a very practical thing you've said to us. And I pray, whether young or old, you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's David.